Mark.
And we're from
The Witches. And are you ready to rock?
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Canada. Rock and roll.
If you are a student who has experienced sexual violence or intimate partner violence, IPV, the Sexual Violence Prevention and Response Service, SVPRS, is here for you. We offer confidential, non-judgmental support to help you navigate your options and connect with the resources you want. We can help with accessing on- and off-campus supports, academic considerations, safety planning, and information on next steps or complaint processes. Looking for workshops or training on consent and sexual violence prevention? We offer those too. Whether you want to build awareness or learn how to support others, we've got programs for you. Have a look at our website by visiting www.queensu.ca/sexual-violence-support. Meeting with us won't trigger a complaint or an investigation. It's all about what you need. You can access our services at any point in your academic journey, and no referral is needed. To contact us, email bjl7@queensu.ca. An advisor will get in touch with you. You are not alone. We believe you.
Hey, I'm Alec, and this is
Molly. And you're listening to CFRC.
You gotta say our band name.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston,
Ontario.
Here we are back at it, and this is Songwriters from Here and Away. We have Angela Saney in the room. We'd like you to check out our online presence, sfhaa.ca, Songwriters from Here and Away. We have YouTube, we have Patreon, we have Facebook and all that stuff, and we really appreciate you connecting and supporting the artists that we're playing here. Now, back to the chat on Zoom with Angela Saney. I would love to play a track or two throughout the day.
Yeah.
You have two albums and one coming, or is it one album and the second coming?
It's complicated. Well, not complicated. I have two EPs, a live album, a whole bunch of singles, one album that came out in 2019, and the new album that's coming out next year is technically my sophomore album, if we don't count my
right,
live
okay,
album.
Right, okay, so the EPs and the singles kind of, we'll call that sort of a bunch of songs, we call it an album, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, well, that's fantastic. And you have that, the first tracks, what are the first tracks that you feel good about and would like to share one on the show today?
Oh, like something from my early days?
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, I think the perfect one from my first EP. So this song came out in 2012 because it's a fun little story if I could tell, because it's great because it shows my growth also. But I have a song called Dear Diary, which is on the first EP called Cake and Calluses. And it actually got a lot of play on CBC Metro Morning in Toronto, which was really great because right off the bat, I was getting a lot of support from CBC when I went solo. But the funny thing is about this song, I had entered a contest in 2010 called the International Acoustic Music Awards. And this song was a demo that my partner had recorded. He does great audio. At the time, he's part of the reason. He was in my old band, my rock band. And when I went solo, he kind of just was like, let's record some songs. And we sailed off into the night and I just did my own thing after that. But he had done this demo and I actually got runner-up for Best Female Artist for this song, which I ended up re-recording and retitling, which was probably a mistake considering I got a lot of attention for, you know, this accolade. But the funny thing about that, this whole story, is guess who the winner was of Best Female Artist? Meghan Trainor.
Oh, really?
And at the time, nobody knew who she was. So years later, I go back to this, you know, they sent a CD because, you know, like being the runner up was like also like an accolade for this awards. And they made a whole best of CD and they had sent it to me. And this is, you know, more than 10 years ago now. And the funny thing is, years later, I picked up this, you know, I found it and I was like, oh, yeah, that was a cool thing that happened. And it was part of my launch into solo-dom. And I didn't even realize when I looked at who the winner was, Meghan Trainor. Yeah. And so years later, I figured it out that, I had come runner-up to Meghan Trainor for this song. I just thought that's a cool story,
well,
you know?
Yeah, good bit of backstory for sure. Well, do you want me to spin the track or would you like to play it live? It's up to you.
I think if you spin the track, it'd be kind of fun because there's a lot of nice little fun ear candy in that recording.
Okay, well,
so
here it is.
Yeah.
Century. That I needed something sweet.
Listening to that now, how do you feel about it? What changes do you see in yourself as a songwriter, looking back?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I think when I listen to my, like, you know, old quote unquote work, I think I'm very self-critical about the lyrics mostly. Not that I don't think, you know, obviously people thought that song was good, you know, Dear Diary, but I find that nowadays I want to be really, really clear, like so articulate on what the song is about. And I feel like that song is slightly ambiguous. You know, I wrote, when I introduce the song, when I play it live, I always say this is a song about my quarter life crisis. You know, I'd written it pretty new, coming to Toronto in my apartment, feeling like, you know, what am I doing with my life? Which is a very common theme, mm-hmm. especially after the big change and big move I'd made with my band. And that song, it's not clear what the song is about, and that's okay, right? I mean, there's a lot of our favorite songs that are ambiguous. It doesn't mean it has to be so, like, verbatim, this is how I feel, right? But that song, when I listen to it now, I kind of feel like you can kind of get your own meaning out of it that you want, but the way that what I had particularly been thinking when I wrote it doesn't really quite come across.
Right.
So that's how I think about some of my old work now when I listen to it, is like, oh, could have captured that essence of what I really meant a little bit maybe better. So, but it's easy to be self-critical.
Taking
right?
metaphors and bringing them back to ground a little harder somehow so that it makes the impact that you want, right? Gotcha.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, great question.
So 2025, the whole album coming out? Do you have any of those available on as tracks, or do you would you like to sing one of those songs?
I wasn't expecting to play one of them, but I totally can.
Can you? Okay.
I think, yeah. That's fun. That's fun. I like the idea of that. I'm going to play...
And don't worry. We can redo it if you need to.
Because they're pretty new.
Right.
And it's funny, I haven't actually played... Side note, one of the things that are kind of is a little bit new for me this time around with recording and, you know, making this album is... most of the time, and most artists are usually this way, where they when they have a collection of songs they're recording, they've kind of tried them out live, you know, like they've played them a lot, you know, maybe for years even.
It's something I highly recommend for artists to do, or new songwriters especially, before they go into the studio, play the heck out of that thing live, and then it settles in and you get it in. You change it as you go play it live, right?
Exactly. And I think it's natural for songs to evolve over time. And I play with a band in and around, you know, Southern Ontario. So they always get a life of their own once you have other musicians, you know, playing parts and things. But this time around, I've really kind of, I have a lot of new songs that haven't been played that much live, which I think I'm okay with. Again, I've been playing and writing for a long time, so it's not that I think the songs aren't going to be served well because they haven't been played live, but I do see what your point, because I've talked about this with my other songwriting friends of when you perform a song live, it's not even how the audience reacts, it's how you react to the audience.
Right.
Like, you can tell if you feel good about the song or not, or if it lands with the audience or not. But sometimes there's just, you know, like a little bit of magic, regardless of if anyone's ever heard it or not. So hopefully I'll be able to play some of that.
Yes.
I just haven't played these songs live.
Well, good. Well, if you'd like, let's have at her. I'm good with that.
Wow. Yeah, I haven't played this in a couple months, to be honest with you. So let's try it. This is a love song. You'll get the analogy, I hope, if I wrote it well, right? So it's called Slow Burn.
Doesn't need to be
Well, that's a lovely song. Was that a co-write or is that a solo write?
Not that one. Yeah. No, that one came straight from my heart.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you. So a thought that comes to mind is that with your history of playing cover tunes and other tunes and whatever in the band, and I've commented on this before with other folks, is that it helps you articulate structure to music and gives and provides a pathway for your brain to compose a song and have a structure to it. Like a lot of early songwriters, they struggle with putting structure and differential to parts of a song so that it sounds like a song, so that we can hear the pathway through the song of the music, of the messages or whatever, whether it's a verse, chorus, pre-chorus, bridge. So I noticed that you've got a fairly keen structure, and I guess that's a lot from having done a lot of music for 20 years or whatever in bands and playing cover tunes, which are very valuable to us, so when you go into a studio now, you've just played that acoustically. When you come to production, where does your head go? Do you get really involved, or you defer a lot of that over to someone else? Where are you at with the production end of it?
Yeah. And it depends on the project, right? So, yeah, I'm really lucky because, and I should note that the whole album isn't actually complete. We still have a couple songs to record, which is exciting and fun, because it's still taking perfect shape. The producer I'm working with on this one, his name's Devin Lougheed, and he plays in a band here in Toronto as well. He's produced lots of other artists. And something I like about his style, because I've worked, again, in my career, this is technically going to be like my 10th record I've ever made. So I have a lot of experience with working with producers that completely take control, and they want to, go through the lyrics with like a fine-tooth comb. And I've also worked with producers that are basically like a engineer,
right?
And you end up kind of like producing it yourself to an extent. So something I really like about working with Devin is like he's a nice mix of both. So we're kind of like in a sense co-producing it, because he takes the idea and the song, and it depends on the song, of course, but his main focus is like amping the song. For example, like in a chorus, and you can tell this from my recorded material, I'm sure, is that when we get to a chorus, there's a huge lift, right? We've got background vocals, maybe some pads, maybe like some new guitar parts we haven't heard in the verses, etc. So there's a real lift to the chorus, which makes it pop, as I call it. I really just want a big catchy chorus, so that's where my mind will go to, is what would the backgrounds be, and what are some nice harmonies, and what can we add, and those kinds of things. So because I have done it so many different ways, the one thing I haven't done, I will say, other than my live record, is done just straight, like live off the floor,
right?
Like a really intimate capture of like me and a guitar. My live album does have that, but it's a live show.
Right.
So, you are getting intimate Angela, but it's in front of an audience, which is fun too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing I haven't really done yet. And so there's maybe the next one, or maybe I'll do an EP that's kind of stripped down. Right. But where I'm at generally is I just like to hear a nice polished track. Obviously my music's very like radio friendly, commercially accessible, and I like that. I mean, I grew up listening to, Whitney Houston and Dolly Parton,
right?
And like Alanis Morissette, and like I like a big sound.
Yeah, well produced.
Which is also
sound,
how I don't Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like in it, as a folk artist, if you put me in that camp, with me and my guitar right now, sure, I sound folk. But when you listen to my music recorded, it's a little more adult contemporary or folk pop, as you could call it, right? So that's where I'm at. I do like to serve the song in a studio sense. I like to add some of the ear candy and have the layers to it, mm-hmm. and those sort of counter melodies. You know, sometimes a good lead guitar line can really help magnify the vocal line, you know, if done well, you know, to really add a spotlight here and there. So that's where I'm at. I love to see what's possible. And that's what kind of creates the sound that I have throughout my material. Yeah,
and it's fun producing in the studio too, when you can have...
Oh, it's so fun.
If you can take the time and you have the years to do it, and time and sometimes money, of course. Yeah. You know, I was wondering if there's some particular song that you had a fabulous co-write on, and you have any...
Oh.
Any interesting...
Like one of my songs,
one of your songs. Yeah, we're not doing anybody else's. This is just Angela Saini hour.
I've got lots.
And we're going to hear that song in just a second. But first, I want to tell you to check out AngelaSaini.com, SAINI.com, and SFHAA.ca. And check that out, because your support means a lot. Okay, we're going to take a short pause.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present At the Door, the latest single by Nolan Hubbard and Sit Still. This is your laid-back summer indie track about breaking free from the daily grind and rediscovering your true self. Sit Still and Nolan Hubbard's unique styles mesh seamlessly, blending catchy grooves with heartfelt storytelling, perfect for windows-down drives or relaxed moments in the sun. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream At the Door by Nolan Hubbard with Sit Still on your favorite platforms, and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Get paid. Cause I wanna lock in, but they lock me out. They've been keeping me from feeling like myself. I get so bored. There's tears in my eyes.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new single released July 25th by local electronic artist Cacao called Light It Up. The new single features Cacao himself on vocals, surrounding the idealism of self-actualization in a grand universal sense. It's a fun, funky, and upbeat electro song guaranteed to make you move and raise your vibration. Accompanied by groovy synth work, punchy drums, and funky vocals, Cacao takes you on a journey of cosmic self-discovery and a whole lot of bass. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Light It Up by Cacao on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Get excited, not forgotten, not a girl. See you next time. $16 might be inconsequential. Hardly covers parking or a few cappuccinos. But put $16 in the hands of Feed Ontario, with their bulk buying power for over 1,200 food banks and hunger relief organizations, and that $16 can provide breakfast for a hungry child every morning for a month. Please, give now at feedontariotogether.ca. For the big change your pocket change can make.
Hey, we're the Wilderness, and you're listening to
CFRC 101.9 FM.
Ba-ba-da-ba-do-do-do.
Grab the lick.
Nice!
Yeah, we're keeping that in.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Cindy. This is Absolutely Frivolous. Welcome to the show. It is Monday morning. So excited to be here. The sun is shining. It's not too hot out there right now in Kingston, although I heard it's going to get hot again, as always seems to be the case for the last few weeks here in the Kingston and surrounding areas. Absolutely Frivolous is a little... I want to say comedy show. I play comedy. I host comedy. We have a variety of different things that we play. And of course, I need to always say, we try to bleep out everything that we can that might be a swear word, or even remove anything that perhaps is a little offensive to other people. Comedy is very subjective, as you well know. So, just be forewarned that if I had been laughing during one of the swear words or something, I may have missed a bleep or two. Just like to put it out there every time I get on this show, because it does happen, and it's not my intention. I am enjoying what I'm listening to while I'm editing different types of comedy. So we're not here to offend anyone, and that is our goal, 100%. But do enjoy the show. If you want to listen to past shows, if this is like your first time, or if you didn't realize we have an archives page, go to cfrc.ca. There's tons of information there, especially on the archives page, how you can download different shows and listen to them. I think they have about 3 months worth of past shows there. It's just fun to check out different things if you can't tune in live to a show here on CFRC. Right now, we are actually offering an industry intro workshop, getting your music out there with Mark Garnis. Join us on August 21st at 11 a.m. for an engaging Airwave YGK workshop brought to our community through the generous support of the Kingston Arts Council and the City of Kingston. This event is free to attend. The workshop, which is going to be held in our lounge here at CFRC 101.9 FM, we are located at 62 Fifth Field Company Lane. Just go to cfrc.ca. And this workshop will be led by Mark Garnis, co-founder of KPP Concerts, Spring Reverb, and The Brew Factory. And he's also executive director of the Kingston Canadian Film Festival. He's recorded and toured with metal band I Hate Sally, playing all over Canada, the U.S., and Europe, and released two albums on Underground Operations / Vagrant Records. So if you are young and emerging and a musician and you would like to participate or have participated in CFRC's Airwave YGK Artist Residency Projects, members of the public are also invited to register, attend, and learn from this industry pro, Mark Garnis. Space is limited, so please register now. All this information, of course, like I said, is on August 21st at 11 a.m. here at CFRC. Go to cfrc.ca for more information. It should be a good time. It sounds like a great idea. And that's one of the beautiful things about CFRC. We put it all out there. We support the arts, of course, around Kingston and around the outside of Kingston as well. So go, like I said, cfrc.ca has all that information. We have some comedy, of course, for you today. Jackie Cashian. Later on in the show, we'll talk about marrying nerds. But first, we're going to play Jim David. He's a lovely Jewish comedian from the South, and he's going to talk about the South. Here he is on CFRC 101.9 FM.
See all of you. I meet all kinds of people doing this. I met a guy after a show one night. He said to me, "Young man, you were very funny. I don't get out much. I'm the announcer for the Amtrak Railroad Pennsylvania station. You were the funniest man I've seen in New York, Newark, King of Prussia, Philadelphia, Wilmington, Baltimore, and Washington. All aboard." I meet all kinds of people. I was in Las Vegas, and I met a guy who was there for the Soldier of Fortune Military Home Defense and Ammunition Gun Expo. He kept trying to sell me a gun for like 2 hours, and finally I said, "Look, I don't own a weapon." And he said, "Well, how do you defend yourself?" And I said, "Wit." And then he said, "Wit what?" I was just on this TV show, and the only other person that was on the show was Martha Stewart. Now, I know when you hear the name Martha Stewart, you think, comedy. I mean, what do you say to her? I said, "Hello, I tried your plantain-coated fillet of dolphin fish." And she looked at me and she said, "And what will you be doing on the program?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm a comedian. I'll just be telling jokes and stuff." And she said, "Oh, I like a little amusement now and again." "What will you be talking about?" And I said, "Well, you know, I'll just be talking about whatever I think is weird or strange or peculiar. You know, what will you be talking about?" And she said, "I'll be showing our viewers how to sew a lightly scented moth repellent organza sachet." I said, "That's what I'll be talking about." I live here in New York City. I live right there, right here, under the bridge. The New Yorkers are the biggest bunch of snobs you have ever seen in your entire... They have been there, done that, and they hated all of it. Yes. Could climb to the top of Mount Everest and go, "Oh, well, this is overrated. And there's a draft." But I'm originally from the South. I'm from the great state of North Carolina. That's the state that gave you Senator Jesse Helms, Jim and Tammy Baker, and tobacco. That's three cancer-causing agents right there. I am white trash and proud. I was raised in an upwardly mobile home. So I prefer to be called Trash de Blanc. Oh, you know what? Somebody just saw me and they said, "Oh, you're from the South? I'm from Florida." Florida's not the South. When you've got two altacacas sitting next to each other on a park bench and one of them says, "Well, I used to keep a kosher table, but I don't anymore," that's not the South. It's just totally different here in New York. Totally different. Like, you ask directions in New York, you say, "Excuse me, where's the hospital? What, are you sick?" You know, down where I'm from, it's like, "Excuse me, where's the hospital?" "Well, you're going to get in the car and you're going to drive about 45 or 50. How far? Earl! How far is he going to go? To the hospital. The hospital. About 45 minutes down to where the water tower used to be. Then you're going to turn left or right? what happened to him? What happened to you? He got stabbed. Stabbed. You did? I'd go to the hospital if I were you. I don't have any children because I just don't have any patience for little children. Even when I was in kindergarten, I was going, who are these children? God, I need a cocktail. I have a cat. That's enough. I have an autistic cat. He can't find the litter box, but he can fly. I have a gay dog. Mm-hmm. He barks like Paul Lind. Woof. I'm just in a silly mood. I feel like I'm on drugs. I really do. I'm a former hippie. I did drugs back when they were healthy. The only time I ever did LSD, I was at Disney World. I didn't go there. Came to me. I was Snow White. I was the one at the party that got sent to the 7-Eleven to pick out the munchies. So after about an hour of walking around the store, I ended up at the counter with a can of peaches and a Jetsons coloring book. And I said to the guy, will there be anything else? He said, yeah, get off the counter. A lot of young people do drugs, which is a shame. I was a former teacher. I taught Shakespeare to 7th and 8th graders in the South Bronx. These kids needed remedial work on the little engine that could. Some of my kids, bless their heart, one of my girls thought that Yves Saint Laurent was the night before Saint Laurent. Think about it, you'll get it. A lot of people do homeschooling now, you know, teaching your kids. Can you imagine how horrible? The whole point of going to school is so you don't have to be around your parents. I mean, can you imagine if they were your teachers? And this is Thomas Edison. He invented the electric light bulb because he knew how to clean up his room. And he did not talk back to his mother. But you have a computer, don't you? Yep. I have a computer. I read my morning papers on the computer. It's just hard to hold the computer on the toilet. Because I don't have a laptop. They don't even have to go to the library anymore, like I did. You know, you should have to, like say you're going to do a book report on Beowulf. You know, all you have to do is go, Yahoo, Beowulf, and out it comes. You know, you should have to go to the library and speak to a human being and say, hi, Miss McGillicuddy, where do I find information on Beowulf? Okay, you go down row A, section C, group 32. Go down that row, go up the spiral staircase. You'll see 5,000 shelves. Go down to shelf 3,792. Go down that row, veer to the right. You're going to want to veer to the left, but veer to the right. You'll see a brick wall. Push the third brick from the bottom. The wall will open diagonally, go through that wall, go down the spiral staircase to the lake. Get into the lake, get into the boat, and cross the lake of fire. If you've rented a helmet, the bats won't get you. When you get to the other side, go through the labyrinth. Go to the left, the right, the right, the left, the left, the left, the right, the left, the left, the right, past the third mummy, out into the woods, down the hill, over the river, up the hill, and knock on the door of the log cabin, and there will be Beowulf himself. So many young people. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. Let's just say it's somewhere between 30 and a Walmart greeter. I love getting older. I love it. You're happier. You're more well-adjusted. You have more money. And the older you get, you realize a very important thing. People in their 20s do not know a damn thing about anything. People in their 20s are good for one thing, looking better than people in their 30s or 40s.
Hi, I'm James Abrams.
And I'm John Abrams.
And we're the Abrams Brothers. And you're listening to CFRC 101.9.
Please support community radio.
Did you recognize that sound? That's the sound of a healthy, well-cared-for cat. I truly hope you've been lucky enough to hear that sound before. The feral cat population around Kingston and the surrounding areas has grown considerably over the last few years. And thanks to organizations like Kendra's Community Kitties, these feral cats are being fed, medically cared for, spayed, neutered, flea treated, dewormed, given winter shelters, and placed in loving homes whenever possible.
Hundreds of these special animals have been rescued by Kendra, and many of these wonderful felines are purring right now, safe and healthy.
But rescuing and rehoming feral cats isn't easy. It requires an enormous amount of time and effort, and there are a few ways you can help.
You can donate to Kendra's Community Kitties on their website, kckitties.com. Even a small amount will help pay for medication, spay and neutering procedures, and food and supplies to keep these felines sheltered and healthy in the cold winters or extreme heat of the summer. Because some of these kitties are not socialized, Kendra has committed herself to provide 22 dishes of food with fresh water every day, 365 days a year, to 6 feral colonies. Food prices have increased significantly, so donations of food and money are always needed. Funding assists with the process of finding homes for these cats as well, as it takes time and money to find the right individual or family to be matched with the right kind of cat. You can become a foster family for our feline friends. Go to kckitties.com and learn how you can care for and love a cat or even a family of kittens until they can be moved into their forever homes. At the colonies, Kendra plants the seeds of trust and socializes the feral felines when she brings them food at the same time each and every single day. So they're more accepting of humans when placed with foster families. But fostering a feral cat is no easy task. Kendra cannot take these cats from the colonies unless there are foster homes willing to commit to help these kitties gain trust with humans.
You can adopt one of these special cats or kittens. If you've already been thinking of getting a furry friend, reach out to Kendra at kckitties.com and she'll provide you with all the information you need to make this important decision.
Any help you can offer Kendra's community kitties will be tremendously appreciated. Not only by Kendra, but by the lucky feral felines she rescues.
And hey, maybe, just maybe, one day, you'll get to hear
Panda say I love you.
If you are tired of the algorithm-based music age we are in and looking for unique, boundary-pushing new sounds, join me, Luke, and oftentimes friends on The Grove every Tuesday at 3. We will listen to and discuss music from electronic to alternative. See you there.
And my skin is sagging, and if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. Well, I ain't 20 either, and I don't care neither, and my hair is gray, and I like it that way. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. If you don't think I rock, well, we ain't gonna roll. If you don't think I hung the moon, my heart just turned to cold. If you want a younger model, wish you well, sweet pea. Cause if you can't see what it is you have, then you ain't having me. I got cellulite and aching feet, and my thoughts gonna jiggle when I giggle or wiggle. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. my tummy ain't tucked or liposucked. It's a little poochy, but it's still hoochie coochie. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. See, I'm no longer desperate, I'll only have a man if he has the smarts to see how hot that I still am. If you want a younger model, I wish you well, sweet pea. Cause if you can't see what it is you have, then you ain't having me. Older ladies, older ladies, older ladies are divine. Well, I got a chicken neck and I love it by heck. It makes a double chin whenever I grin. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. Got saggy breasts that droop from my chest, burnt near down all the way to my nest. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. If you don't think I rock, well, we ain't gonna roll. If you don't think I hung the moon, my heart just turned to cold. If you want a younger model, I wish you well, sweet pea. Cause if you can't see what it is you got, you ain't getting me. Older lady, older ladies, older ladies are divine. Older ladies, older ladies, older ladies. What are we, ladies?
CFRC.
I am recently married. Yes, you may applaud. Because most comics die alone, weeping softly into a cracked mirror. And so I am a beacon of hope, and that's why it is exciting. And I've been doing stand-up comedy forever, forever, since women comics would get stage time right before they were burned as a witch. Back in the 1600s, I opened for Hester Prynne. She had a tight five in the Iroquois. It was great. And I married a man. Huh? Exciting? I like to tell people, because you know who thinks I'm gay? Almost everyone. Could have been, went to college. It's not like I might not know. I met my husband doing online dating. I love online dating because it's a flippin' drop-down menu option. I am a woman looking for a man to date. Tappity-tap, tappity-tap, you exchange some emails, you dash off to a Starbucks, you look at each other for the first time, and then one of you goes, no, 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 I have to, and you go home. And you do it again and again and again until you meet someone who isn't horrified by your initial appearance. It's really just that romantic. And my husband makes video games for a living. I knew it. I was like, how did you get that job? And he says, it's perfectly obvious how I got that job. I fought my way through several levels. And then I killed the boss. Yes. And I recommend, I tell people, go out with a guy who plays video games. Go out with a guy who collects action figures and reads comic books. Go out with that guy. Marry that guy, because that guy's home right now. Dude is around. Yeah. He's got a curio shelf, and he's got to organize his action figures. It keeps him off the pipe. It keeps him off the pole. It's nice. But he's a game designer, right? So he'll play any game that you want to play. Paper, scissors, rock, card games, board games, video games, dress up like an elf, go away for the weekend. Dude's dipped. More than once, when we were organizing our wedding, he referred to our outfits as costumes. He wanted us to dress as pirates and take over another wedding. I'm not saying that that would not have been fun. I am saying I am not organizing two weddings, crazy man. And he's like, why would we have to organize a second one? Arr. And then we went on our honeymoon, and he wanted us to get matching tattoos. And I'm not tattoo people. I don't want a tattoo. I said, instead of tattoos, why don't we do what old people do in Wisconsin, where I'm from, when they travel, which is collect those spoons. And he said, oh my God, let's get tattoos of those spoons. Get a cabinet tattooed on our backs, and then everywhere that we travel, we'll get a different spoon tattoo for the rest of our lives. And I was like, wow, I would rather get a plate in my head and collect magnets. Rhode Island. And I live live here. We live here in Los Angeles. And before I go into it, allow me to make an announcement. I love animals. We all love animals. People are animals. I love people. When I was a kid in Wisconsin, if you had an old dog or a very sick cat, you would sadly, very sadly, put the dog down, put the cat to sleep, and that dog or cat would go to happy dog or cat heaven, and you would go to the pound to get a new dog. And it was the circle of life, and it was very beautiful. And that isn't happening in crazy Los Angeles land, where people are like, oh no, the cat's only 17, we're gonna get dialysis. Are ya? I have a friend of mine who has a cat that's 21 years old, and in addition to the plethora of other problems that this cat has, like it cannot move, it now has diabetes, and so she has to shoot it up twice a day. You know what that is? Time for a new cat. New cat, twice a day. Why do you get a cat? So you don't have to do anything. That's why you get a cat, because it poops in a box and you can go to work. $3,000 for diabetic cat medicine for this cat. You know what that is? 3,000 new cats. Cats are free. Yeah. And people get mad at me, and they come up to me and they say, you don't like animals. I'm like, no, I don't like you. Because you're a jackass about your pet. You get 15, 20 years. That's all you get. I didn't make that rule. If you would like more than that, please do not get a cat or a dog. Turtle, turtle, turtle. Tiny turtle, hat, tutu, carried around in your creepy Paris Hilton purse. For like 30 years, it could lift its head up, adorkable. Giant tortoise that can walk slowly around your backyard for 300 years. And become a burden on your descendants. Where I go to eat breakfast here in Los Angeles, right next to my breakfast place, there's an animal eye care clinic. Just eye care, just for the animals. I don't have insurance. Let's get Mittens some contacts. Better now or now? Meow. Better now or now? Meow. That joke is adorable. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Hey, Kingston, it's Bahamas, and you're listening to CFRC.
Father passed away. Life got a lot harder for him and his mom.